hello and welcome to episode 5 of The Two Tones.
Greetings, Tony.
Tony DeBolfo, how are you?
Well, be better. Episode 5, Tone, that'd be episode Petrevsky seated, would
yes,
it not?
Wood or Macca.
C. Judd.
One C. Judd, yeah.
S. Jackson. The great Sydney Jackson.
Oh, really?
Wore 5 for
there
the club.
You go.
Yeah, one of the all-time great players.
Indigenous trailblazer.
Yeah, stood out of the 68 premiership season by force. Couldn't get his clearance and was actually running messages for the great Ronald Albarassi on grand final day 68. So
what was the hold-up with clearance?
Couldn't get a clearance through that his local team in the Waffle had blocked the trade. Went to arbitration. It was ruled that he was ineligible to be cleared in that year, so he actually stood out. He acted as runner through 68 as running messages for the great Ronald Dale, and unfortunately missed out on that drought-breaking premiership.
Did he play 1970?
He was there in 70 and 72.
All right. Well, you know,
as Milton said, Tony, good things come to those who wait.
I'm into that. I'm Tony Moclair. Great to have your company here at the Two Tones. Now let's start. Well, there's good, there's bad, there's ugly. Let's start with the good and the beautiful. The AFLW, the best and fairest, Carlton. Got some wins on the board.
They've got some wins on the board, Tony, and I think it's fair to say that the Carlton Football Club got it right. Two worthy winners in Katie Loynes and Bree Moody took the chocolates this year in what was obviously a tough year for the team.
Yeah.
But in seeing the games in which the girls played, it really started with Bree Moody in the ruck, and Katie Loynes, who's ferocious in her attack on the ball, and two more worthy winners you couldn't get, Tone. They were fabulous in the way they led from the front, and the fact that the team finished last on the ladder this year was of no fault to them, because they gave it their all, and particularly Katie. I love watching the way she plays, and a hard nut where the heat is around the contest, and all power to her. We need more players like her at this place.
I was going to say that's a very neat segue into our discussion of Carlton's 24-point loss to Collingwood. This is the male team, of course. Congratulations to Katie and Bree for that magnificent effort. But, Tone, Friday night, back at the G, it was a big crowd. It was a Carlton home game.
Yes.
And the lights were on, obviously. It was the stage was set.
Well, the stage was set. And I suppose before we get into the game proper, Tone, you make a good point about, what was it, 68,000 plus in the house. It was a good atmosphere. A Carlton home game, which meant the members and supporters from our club turned out in force, which was great to see. And this was a game that wasn't televised by Seven in lieu of the Commonwealth Games.
Yeah.
The fact that people turned out, with both teams, fair to say, at the wrong end of the spectrum in terms of the ladder standings, says to me, Tony, that the Carlton-Collingwood rivalry is alive and well. Oh, and no matter what they say about Friday nights being deprived of the Carlton Football Club, a different argument. When you talk about Carlton and Collingwood games, that game should remain on Friday night as a fixture because it's a game and a rivalry that doesn't need any Roman numerals after it. It doesn't need the word showdown or derby after it.
Yep.
It is what it is, and it's a rivalry that's built on 120 years of hatred. And long may it prevail.
Exactly.
Because the people want it. And my criticism of people that knock it is, where's the sense of history? You have to understand that, this is a game, Tony. Can they look at it as a wonder of the world, or does it actually meet the criteria for a game that actually carries its own gravitas?
Yeah.
I don't think people really appreciate, other than Carlton and Collingwood supporters, what this rivalry actually means. And I think the fact that 68,000 people turned out on a night in which it wasn't covered on free-to-air speaks volumes for the fact that people have an appetite for this rivalry, the rivalry of AFL football. Forget the fly-by-nighters, and those have been around, you know, 10 minutes.
Or trying to gin up some sort of crosstown rivalry in Sydney.
Yeah, and the spin
TWS
doctors.
And the Swans.
That's it, and the spin doctors getting to it and putting bells and whistles to it. They don't have to touch Carlton and Collingwood.
Yeah.
Carlton and Collingwood speaks for itself.
Give it its due. I'd like them to touch it by giving it its due, as you say, Tone, because we look at the hoopla over Anzac Day. I think the first Carlton Collingwood game of any season should get the, as you say, the necessary publicity and publicity it deserves, because it is a great clash.
Well, it's right, and you know, it's a hatred that's born, as I said, born on history. They beat us in the 1910 Grand Final. And we won the next five GFs. So it's always comforting to me that there's no Collingwood supporter living that's actually seen them triumph over Carlton in a grand final. And I have a bet with a mate. I'm not frightened in confiding. Nothing to do with the AFL. It's all above board. I have a lifelong bet that was struck years ago with a Collingwood friend of mine that I will never, ever, ever live long enough to see Carlton lose to Collingwood in the grand final, and I reckon I'm safe. I reckon I'm right.
Yeah, no, I think you are. Right rhymes with tonight, by the way, and for Collingwood.
Or is that to niggit? Tone,
the keeps giving.
The banner went up, Tone, and I looked to the heavens. I said, "Thank you, God." It was magnificent. It was actually, I was with my family at the Punt Road end.
Yeah.
So I was actually, when the banner went up from the Ponsford stand end, it was actually, it was tilted in such a way that I had an unimpeded perfect line of vision, and up it went. And I don't think the banner had been raised to the zenith.
Yeah.
And I'd already got the little handheld camera out to get this photograph for posterity. And, of course, it went around the Twittersphere like wildfire. And that was a great start to the night. And probably the first 10, 15 minutes of the game.
Yes.
It was looking pretty good.
It was.
Regrettably, Tone, we sort of floundered, didn't we, after that, and Collingwood up the ante, and we just didn't seem to be able to find a way to quell the resistance.
Collingwood were breaking lines with impunity, and they were a lot more accurate. Well, they were accurate in front of goal. They only scored something like four behinds, and their disposal was really crisp.
Well, I think we had one shot more, didn't we? In reflection, I think it was 21 shots to 20 for memory, our way. But, I think we were probably flattered on the scoreboard in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
You know, you think back to the Richmond game and perhaps you'd mount the same argument, you know. But, look, it was just a shame to see the team drop off in its intensity. I thought, you know, as I said earlier, we started pretty well and the signs were good early. But as soon as Collingwood turn up the heat, we really seemed to struggle. We were wanting for leadership. The young kids are under siege and young bodies, they're obviously, you know, being presented with enormous challenges every time they run out. And that's part of the caper at this level, I suppose.
You're seeing that definitely in Paddy Dow. I mean, I don't mean this to be an unflattering observation, but in the, let's say, the last quarter when the game was effectively lost to Carlton and the pressure to a certain extent was off, I saw flashes from Paddy Dow that absolutely justified the hype. I think he's adjusting to the intense, the insane speed and pressure of AFL at the biggest league, at the biggest level. But you know, when I saw that pressure drop a bit at the end, you could see why he had earned the faith of selectors and recruiters.
Well, it's a great point you raised, Tone. What are we, three games in? You know, he's three games into his career.
Yeah.
And, he's showing a fair degree of bottle, I would have thought, which is exactly what the team needs. You know, in times of adversity, you need players that can sort of find a way to counter what's being meted out to them. And the fact that he's hung in is credit to him. And look, to be fair, I suppose one of the few positives to come out of the night was it was only a four goal margin in the end. Mm. Now, maybe, you know, 18 months, 2 years ago, that might have been a 10-goal-plus belting.
They were 10-goal belting.
Yeah,
Remember the game against Collingwood that was the landmark game for Mick Malthouse.
Yes.
And that was 90-odd points.
It was horrid.
It was an awful night.
It was horrid. It was horrid. So in that respect, you know, the scores would suggest that the players are hanging in, you know, that they're finding the reserves to basically hang in as long as they possibly can. It's a good sign. I made a couple of notes on the night, Tone. I thought Cunningham was providing pretty good run out of defence. He looks like he's finding his feet in the Doc's absence on half back. And, you know, I made a note of the rebounding effect of Caleb Marchbank early in the game and how well he was progressing with his career. And we'll get to Caleb, I guess, shortly. Yeah. A sad loss, you know, early in the contest. But I just thought for the second quarter, the players were overworked and out-muscled. You know, you had blokes like Adams and Sidebottom, Treloar, you know, coming to their own. And Grundy was getting on top of Big Cruz.
Yes,
and
he
so
was.
we were really under the pump midfield. And I must pay credit to Patrick Cripps because, really, I thought he was a lone hand there. He had three blokes hanging off him, and he's got to do it all. He's trying to win possession midfield, run the ball and be on the end of it, hopefully up four to try and pinch it for a goal. So, you know, it's I know the injuries are taking their toll. All clubs suffer injuries. It's par for the course. But it seems that the injuries we're getting is really posing huge demands on our depth. And, we just have to find a way, don't we?
Well, you speak of injuries that sidelines players. What about injuries players play with? And I've had it said to me that Cruiser, there's a question mark over whether or not he's 100% fit. But
well,
you look at his importance to the team and you can understand the match committee's decision to play him, even though he might be at, let's say, 95%.
Yeah, well, I suppose in football, you know, maybe with the exception of the opening fortnight or opening round, there's not a player playing that probably doesn't go into a game with some niggler. It's just the harsh reality of this brutal game which players play. But, you know, thinking back, you know, the injury the big fella suffered against Richmond, he came back on, you know, in the second half, and he was really playing below what we know he can, you know, trying to pinch it for a goal up forward. So, you know, maybe in retrospect that wasn't such a great call. I don't know. I'm sure the powers that be would have assessed all scenarios and thought he was right to go back on. He missed the week, didn't he, against Gold Coast?
Yeah.
And he did probably lower his colours to Grundy on the night against Collingwood. So, look, the extent of the injury, maybe it's something he has to manage. Hopefully he's over it because full-strength Cruiser is vital to Carlton's chances.
Yeah, we know that. But in terms of backup for Cruiser, we have Phillips. How's he looking?
Yes, well, he got through his first game, VFL level, which is something, Tone, the big ruckman. And, look, I heard Brendan Bolton at a press conference, I think this morning, was asked a question about the other big man, Harry McKay, and, you know, why haven't we seen him yet? And I thought the coach answered the question really well. In essence, what he was saying was that, look, we all want to see Harry play ones, but the fact of the matter is that he's had an injury interrupted previous two seasons, and until he gets some continuity with his football, we're not going to risk him. He said that we want Harry in a situation where when he comes into the senior team, he's actually going to be there on an ongoing basis, not as a fly by night, a 1 week, 2 week job. So I think it's good that, and I might have mentioned this last week. I remember Sam Doherty saying, "There's not going to be any free games handed out here," and I think that's an important message to send. That's Harry McKay. Andrew Phillips is coming back similarly from long term injury. Got through the VFL game at the weekend. I'm rather hoping the big redhead does come into calculations sooner rather than later, Tone, because there's a rather delicious headline that's waiting to be written with Andrew Phillips's inclusion in midfield, because what you'll then have, you'll have Fish and Cripps with sauce. You heard it here first, folks.
Oh, you're a newspaper man from way back and ink still runs in your veins, Tony DeVolfo. Magnificent.
Yes.
Now, let's talk about Caleb Marchbank. He wears the number 22. 2 + 2 = 4. 4 weeks he's out for, apparently.
Oh, it's a cruel blow because I really think he's been fabulous across halfback. I love the way, just watching him, his sense of anticipation and his capacity, like Rance. I think, Rance is the master of knowing when to time his run to effect a spoil or force a rebound. He's a dashing footballer that, with every quarter seems to be building more and more in terms of his confidence. And he really feels at home. Yeah. And he looks at home at South Back. And, you look at someone like Caleb Marchbank and there's the mainstay across halfback for the next decade.
Yes.
And it's such a shame that, unfortunately, a simple mishap has cost him probably the next month with a gammy ankle.
If you look at the back line and the injuries the Carlton has suffered, the weight of them has been borne by the back line with Doherty, Rowe, who's
Kieran
out at the
Byrne.
Moment, ASOS is out as well.
Yeah, the Irishman, Kieran.
Yeah, Kieran Byrne. Yep. So, we had problems at both ends of the ground on Friday night, but, certainly in that second quarter, Collingwood were able just to get on top of our defence easily. And
yes.
You look at the depth of talent we have on the sidelines at the moment that would ordinarily play in the back line, then, the prospect of all of those players coming back is definitely a heartening one.
Well, it is. And as you say, our depth at the moment has sorely been tested. We're at that stage, I suppose this team is at the stage of its journey, Tone, where it has to be all hands on deck. If there's, a breakdown in numbers, well, it's really going to increase the pressure on those that are left to fly the flag. So we are, we are struggling in terms of player volume at the moment, or lack thereof at the moment. It's just the, I suppose, symptomatic of league footy at its most brutal. That we just haven't got perhaps enough players to cover those good players that are unfortunately succumbing to injury. So I suppose the challenge for the players, Mark Murphy and his players, they've just got to hang in, and just remain in the contest for as long as possible, and I'd hope that maybe the ball bounces the right way and we can find a little bit of luck.
What do you want to see from senior players, Tone? Because there's nothing, the rate of effort from younger players has been fantastic. Those still adjusting, those let's say under 50 games, but senior players when Carlton are facing a 40-knot headwind.
Yeah,
it's a
fair call. I think you want to see someone. If the trend of the game is that it's starting, the team's starting to lose control, you want to see someone, probably at a senior level.
Yeah.
Do something to, just do anything to change a dynamic and maybe swing the balance back in Carlton's favour.
Yeah. Start quoting Tony Robbins or something like that. motivational.
I hadn't thought of. I'll claim it.
Right.
But I look. Who does that? I suppose you've got to look at.
Well, it falls on Murph.
Or Murph.
Who had 29 possessions the other night. He's got that side of things.
Start off half back too, which was interesting. They started him out of the square, and maybe that's a sign of where this team is heading, that maybe it doesn't fall all on Murph. It seemed to me that Cripps was shouldering more of the heavy lifting. And I suppose Murph, as he's getting on in years, probably, he's done it the hard way, hasn't he? He's he's had to earn his kicks, you know, with under a fair bit of duress. So maybe this is management, you know, which makes sense. But yeah, we just need someone that senior group to really set the tone and try and arrest the dynamic in games of football. You know, when things, as I said, are going against us. That's the challenge for the senior group, I suppose.
Yeah, but again, just to touch on something you said earlier, Tone, it is a very good... the things that Brendan Bolton mentioned was that Carlton's penetrations into the forward 50 outnumbered Collingwood's. That's yes. A good thing. So it's a question of converting those. But this is a group that, when it does lose, loses by much less than it did during the very grim, dark years.
Well, that's right.
Not that long ago.
Not that long ago.
You call that progress.
Well, you have to. You know, you have to do that. And I suppose that point you make, Tony, makes you realise from just how far back Carlton is coming. You know, what was it, 42 players removed from the list in the past 2 years?
Yeah.
It's been an enormous
time. It's like a Stalinist purge.
Well, it is. Is that unprecedented in footy? It may well be. I don't know of a cull of that scale in the time I've been covering it. You know, I stand corrected if there is an exception. But it's been a phenomenal turnover of player. You know, you just have to be patient that with times and game experience, these young blokes have been called on to take Carlton into the next decade. They've got to be given time. And all power to them. Good luck to them. Let's hope they can, you know, string many games together and just lift the brand.
Well, look, a test of, I guess, Carlton's mettle and resolve, especially after the Collingwood game, is going to come in Tasmania. It's the home state of Brendan Bolton. It gave me a start in footy. It's at Blundstone Arena this Saturday.
Yes.
We've lost the last three matches to North. They're a wily opponent.
Yeah, they are. They are. And, you know, they've got a few hard bodies there that, you know, I'm thinking of Siebel and Cunnington and fellows like that that are, you know, pretty solid around the contest. So again, it'll be a big challenge for the players to meet the physicality with interest. Real challenge down in Hobart, Launceston, Hobart. So you know, can the players respond? We hope so, because I think it's going to be on. The North Melbourne coach has already put a rocket to Goldstein, the ruckman. So I think Cruz can expect a fairly spirited contest with Goldstein. Let's just see what happens at Blundstone Arena. You'd want to see, you know, the team, you know, show a bit when they take to the field there on Saturday night.
I'm going to ask you this question then, Tone, get your 3-2-1s for the Collingwood game. It's a narrow ground at Blundstone Arena. How's that going to affect game plans, styles of play, structures?
Yeah, well, it's a good question, and I suppose it'll depend also on the lineups. You know, what team actually Bolton takes into the game this week? Will there be a lot of changes? Well, we know there's at least one with Caleb out of the side. I did hear Brendan mentioning Cam O'Shea as someone that's sort of thereabouts, pushing for selection. You know, will they go with bigger bodies? You know, I suppose in that context you think of someone like Nick Graham, you know, might be one that might come into contention.
Yeah.
I don't think they've done too much wrong at VFL level. It'll be interesting to see just how, you know, what the makeup of the team is. The team played down there early in the year too. I think they had
JLT,
you know,
yeah,
in the JLT. So
was that against Hawthorn?
I think
it was.
Yeah, it was.
And Carlton won that.
Yeah. So, I mean, the fact they've had a crack there, you would think would augur well. You know,
yes.
they'll know the lay of the land pretty well down there, and hopefully acquit themselves well. So, I'm sure they'll make the necessary adjustments, Tone. I don't know if I've answered your question, but you know, you'd think that they'll be. Cherry Ripe ready to go on an albeit different arena.
Well, it goes without saying we are desperate for...
Sam Kerridge was the other one I was trying to think of that might be,
might be...
Again, another experienced player, you know, big body player that might be able to offer a little bit of support around the contest. Because you'd imagine, as you see, with the flanks narrow, that there's going to be more
down the corridor.
Yeah, well, yeah, and more, you know, bone on bone collision.
Oh,
so
okay.
Maybe they might have to up the ante in terms of their player physicality this week. We'll wait and see what team's named.
Well, we'll see what the match committee does. We, of course, are very keen to see a W and a 1 next to it.
Yes.
After the weekend. Now, Tone, just to backtrack, the Collingwood game.
The votes?
Votes, please.
I tell you what, Tone, it's a tough gig these days, you know. And I think I put the kiss of death on Cam O'Shea because the week after I awarded him a vote, he was dropped. So apologies to you, Cam, but you know, fearing the worst for these players who I'll give votes for this week.
You're not Lou Richardson.
I gave one vote to the Leviathan, Big Levi, because I thought in that third quarter, you know, those goals, they were from big clunking marks.
Yeah, they were.
And, he, you know, and credit to the boy. He's kicking beautifully.
Yeah.
You know, I was watching his run in pretty closely, and he runs in a straight line, and his ball to boot movement is methodical now and crisp. He's getting
confident.
He's getting clean contact, and we're seeing the results. So all power to Levi. You know, it can't be easy. You know. He'd be mindful of the criticism that comes his way with his finishing, and to Severio Rocca, who's done so much work on trying to affect that change to his run in and his contact when kicking for goal. Good luck. It's well played. It seems as though it's done the trick. So one vote to Big Levi. I gave two votes to Paddy Cripps. I just thought, you know, Cripps, you know, shouldering the load quite literally. He had a couple of blokes hanging off each shoulder, and he's got to do it all. And, you know, we want to see some support certainly for him as he goes about his business this week at Blundstone. And three votes I gave to another hard worker, a fellow that probably doesn't get the kudos he truly deserves, and a bit of a favourite, Eddie Curnow.
Yes.
I love Ed.
Oh, just for that kick alone.
Yes.
That kind of clearance kick on the, what was it, half-forward flank, half where he just threw his foot at it.
That was
magnificent.
It was brilliant, you know, and Ed's a great man and, like, a great running play, you know, and a top bloke to go with it. And I think he's, you know, he's an unsung hero. We talk about those hard nuts around the contest. He gets given big assignments each week, you know, negating roles or whatever. But I just think at times like this, you need players like Ed Curnow.
Yeah.
And I dips my lid to Ed. We're hearing a lot about Charlie, and rightly so, he's an excitement machine. But Ed, credit where credit's due, well played, and let's hope he goes on with it down at Blundstone. Might be just the ground for him.
Indeed. I think everyone listening would thoroughly endorse those sentiments, Tone. Well done, and good on you, Ed. Well-deserved three votes. Tone, that's all we have time for today.
Terrific, Tone. You'll be watching it, no doubt, from somewhere cosy.
Possibly the Grandview Hotel. Who knows?
Well, I might see you down there. Across. I'm not heading down to the Apple Isle myself, so might see you for a jar or three down at the Grandview.
All right. Well, that is Carlton v North Melbourne. We've had some ding-dong clashes in the past. Is that even the right term, ding-dong? Or ring? I don't know. You know,
ring-a-ding-ding,
I mean.
I think, was Lou's favourite line.
Yes. I've told you many times about taking my rugby union supporting father-in-law to a game against North at Princes Park many years ago, and he kept barking at ref. Go easy on our bloke, ref. They've been doing that. And then he turned to me and to Pauline and said, "And now I wonder how this line-out's going to go." David Lynch, you're an absolute classic. All right, thanks, Tone. Tony DeBolfo.
Thank you, Tony.
And Tony Moclair. On behalf of the Two Tones, saying thanks for listening and go Blues.